ears wide open. A new series of podcasts provided by Anima Aeterna Brügge. First episode, a conversation on Franz Liszt and rhetoric in music. Bruges Station, March the 2nd, 2023. We board the train for Antwerp, where Jos van Immerzeel has invited us to a conversation about a subject that is close to his heart and that he has been studying for many years. Rhetoric in music, and more particularly in Franz Liszt music. As the train pulls away, I try to remember my student days. Rhetoric? What does it have to do with music? And by the way, what is rhetoric anyway?
La rhétorique, c'est la théorie. Et je veux bien souligner.
Rhetoric is the theory, and I stress the theory of the practice of good speech.
Bien parler. Depuis les Grecs et plus tard des Romains, mettaient vraiment une grande.
The Greeks and later the Romans placed a great importance on teaching the art of good speech.
L'art de bien parler. Donc, en principe, et c'est très dangereux de dire ça, mais en principe, une communication.
So, in principle, and this is a very dangerous thing to say, a communication always includes elements which the Romans did describe as rhetorical techniques.
Et c'est Quintilianus qui, au début de notre système de compter les ans, c'était peut-être autour de l'année 95.
Quintilian wrote a book around 95 AD called Institutio Oratoria.
C'est un document complètement en latin.
A document written in Latin, which was based largely on Greek practice in speech.
Alors, pourquoi je parle de cette publication? Parce que cette publication, quand on a commencé dans notre.
I mention this publication because when we started in our culture around the 16th century to focus mainly on teaching Greek and Roman culture,
ce livre est devenu
this book became the basis for teaching.
Alors, dans les Moyen Âge, dans le 17e, le 18e siècle, cette connaissance était.
In the Middle Ages, in the 17th and 18th centuries, this knowledge was so important that it is also applied in non-spoken language.
Donc je parle de la poésie écrite, de la
written poetry, music, painting, architecture.
Quand on voit des sculptures du 15e siècle.
When you see sculptures from the 15th century, you can recognize the principles of rhetoric.
C'est devenu donc un art.
So it became an art and a technique that was very important, especially in the 18th century.
Ce ne sont pas des obligations, ce ne sont pas des règles, ce sont des
descriptions. They are not obligations, they are not rules, they are descriptions of what is built into a language.
C'est l'effet de génération en génération.
And they are the product of generations of enrichment of the way of effective speech.
If I do understand you correctly, rhetoric actually codifies natural phenomena. For example, if you pose in a speech at a judiciously chosen moment, you will create an expectation in the listener and maybe draw his attention to what you are going to say next. You create something, some kind of suspense.
Oui, c'est un très bon exemple.
This is a very good example, the pause.
On interrompt soi-même, mais on peut le faire seulement à condition que ce
you interrupt yourself, But you can only do so if what precedes the pause is relevant to the idea, i.e., the listener must be made curious.
Et en musique, c'est exactement la même chose. Un compositeur qui fait dans une composition un moment de tension.
And in music, it is exactly the same. A composer creates a moment of tension by stopping at a certain point and then continuing.
La longueur de cette pause.
The length of this pause has to be related to the emotion that comes before and after. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Donc on peut pas prendre une.
So you can't take a meter to measure the time. You have to wait.
Ici, trois quarts secondes.
You have to feel it.
Ça marche pas comme ça. Il faut le sentir.
Yes, could you give us some examples of rhetorical figures that seems to you particularly important and recurrent in music?
Une première série qu'on peut facilement.
A first figure that can easily be presented is that of repetition.
De la répétition. De la répétition. Qu'est-ce que j'ai fait? J'ai dit de la répétition. J'attends un petit peu et je dis un petit peu.
I say the word once and then I repeat it a second time, a little more articulate, hoping that the listener will understand better.
Alors, il y a des techniques très simples. Une technique est de monter la voix.
There are very simple techniques like raising the voice. It's called anabasis. Ascensus in Latin.
Monter.
There is the opposite, descensus, catabasis, downwards.
La circulation. C'est de
the circulation which consists in staying in place but moving.
Ça veut dire que on parle de la même chose et on reste sur place parce que
the same thing is said over and over again in a different way.
Ce qu'on dit, c'est déjà ce qu'on a tout le temps dit, donc on se répète. Tout ce que j'ai fait maintenant, ça c'est j'ai utilisé la circulation.
Hein? There is graduation.
Graduation. On dit quelque chose. On dit quelque chose. Et on continue et on dit encore quelque chose.
You say something gradually, raising your tone.
Gradatio. On peut continuer comme ça.
You can go on like that.
La pause.
There's the pause.
Le abruptio.
The abruptio.
Tout à coup de stocker la voix.
As if you suddenly run out of air.
Ou on dit oh, oi, 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 suspiratio.
Ou suspiratio, the sigh.
Mais suspiratio, ça peut être comme les Italiens.
But it can be dolce.
Ah. Ou ah.
Ou viva.
Suspiratio viva, c'est très fort, hein? Dans tous les sens.
In many of the examples you just gave us, many memories come to the surface, often from the early days of opera and Monteverdi's Orfeo in particular, Suspiratio, etc. The Oimeke Center, for instance, of Orpheus, learning of Eurydice's death, or the Messaggera's intervention that is full of interruptions.
This fragment of a Messaggera.
Ai caso acerbo. Quelle situation terrible.
What a terrible situation.
On peut dire.
One can say.
C'est une situation terrible.
But when we say.
Ai caso acerbo.
It's not the same thing at all.
Terribile. Terrible, terrible, hein, en faisant des accents.
All this is not written in the score. It's the interpreter who has to understand.
Et un Italien fait ça presque normalement.
In this particular case, an Italian will almost normally do it.
Mais les autres.
But the other musicians really have to ask themselves how to do that.
Comment on fait ça?
We know that this heart of rhetoric was part of the learning of every composer in the 17th and mid 18th centuries. Was it still the case afterwards?
Bah, plus chez les
mainly in the good composers, enfin, those who are considered good composers, than in the others.
Que d'autres, par exemple, pour dire un exemple.
For example, when you compare Beethoven's music with Hummel's, you see much more rhetoric in Beethoven's than in Hummel's.
Plus de rhétorique que dans Hummel.
There is one of the 19th century composers in particular in whom you have seen a great deal of rhetorical richness, and it is Franz Liszt. So I believe you will soon be conducting Liszt's second piano concerto. Is this a work in which rhetorical elements are apparent or particularly present?
Oui, on peut
yes. One can perfectly well analyze this concerto on the basis of knowledge of rhetoric.
Est-ce que c'est
is this proof that Liszt thought of it in terms of rhetoric?
Non.
No.
Il peut avoir composé.
He could have composed this piece intuitively, straight from the heart.
Complètement du cœur, sans connaissance. Mais c'est
but it corresponds to the principles of rhetoric.
De la rhétorique. Alors, qu'est-ce que Liszt fait? Il fait
Liszt does something very special already on the second chord.
Alors, il retourne.
He returns to the key and immediately adds a dissonance.
Dissonance énorme.
And another dissonance.
Ça fait que, donc.
He continues. Lots of dissonances.
Alors, qu'est-ce qu'il écrit comme style? Il écrit adagio.
With the indication adagio sostenuto assai, which means calm but sustained.
Vraiment avec des longues notes. Et dolce soave.
And dolce soave, so very soft and mysterious.
Très spécial. Ce qui est une bonne idée. Pourquoi? Parce que normalement, un concerto pour piano, c'est très virtuose.
Which is surprising, because a piano concerto is normally very virtuosic and starts with a rather pompous introduction. But here, he does just the opposite.
Juste le contraire.
It is true that if one hears this beginning of Liszt concerto and at the same time remembers the beginning of Beethoven's fifth one, for instance, one sees immediately that Liszt is taking the opposite view of what a majestic and imposing introduction to a piano concerto should be. If you listen to the beginning of Liszt concerto, one sees the radically different way in which it begins. Thank you.
Donc, déjà, une figure...
So already, a figure of rhetoric, the anti-Teuton, which consists of doing exactly the opposite of what one expects.
De ce qu'on s'attend.
And in the harmonies,
donc on a cette...
we have this tone.
Et on attend autre chose que... Tout de suite, il quitte...
And then immediately, it returns to the dominant.
Il fait déjà... Ça s'appelle patopoia, c'est-à-dire c'est un passage.
It's called patopoia, which is a very painful and interior passage.
Qui très interne. Et ça.
And it's again very special for a concerto.
Salle de concert, la brillance, on l'attend.
You expect brilliance and you don't get it.
Après, il fait une longue.
Then he does a long solo for the clarinet.
Solo pour la clarinette.
He insists on dissonances. The beginning. If you play this faster,
on croit pas que c'est
you can't believe that this is a piece of late Romanticism.
Archi moderne.
It sounds very modern.
Mais comme c'est dans un mouvement.
But as it's in very slow movement, with a smorzando indication, like something that disappears in the air.
C'est quelque chose qui disparaît dans l'air avant que c'est vraiment là. Et à la fin, il écrit...
And at the end, he writes perdendo again. The melody goes slowly out.
On laisse partir, soi-disant, la mélodie. Ce sont des autres mots...
These are other words than figures of rhetoric. But to my mind, they mean the same thing.
Mais ça signifie, à mon avis, exactement la même chose. Donc ça donne, quand on entend
this gives
écrit. Donc j'explique tout de suite, pour avoir le bon effet de ce...
To get the right effect of this suave dolce, you have to play the second chord softer than the first one.
Parce que qu'on fait... C'est pas spécial. On fait ça et surprise, dissonance, patopoia, après, etc.
One has almost forgotten where one is.
C'est une phrase qui s'appelle.
This is an effect which in rhetoric is called passus doriusculus, a passage with a lot of suffering, which is almost frightening.
Après, il y a l'harmonie du début. Et là,
then the piano starts.
Et deuxième accord.
And here we finally recognize the piano concerto.
majestueuse.
The majestic side comes later, of course, with the same theme.
Mais maintenant,
but now with the harmony.
L'harmonie.
Completely different.
Avec le piano. Ça devient tout à
it suddenly de becomes de very strong and
ça finit comme ça et après de nouveau la douceur du début et double
afterwards a slower double which increases the tension again.
Donc, il augmente de nouveau la tension. Donc, l'idée, c'est pour l'orateur.
The idea for the speaker, and therefore also for the composer and performer, is that the audience does not fall asleep, right?
C'est que le public s'endort pas, n'est-ce pas?
I have a question, Jos, that may be a bit naive, but when you see the number of rhetorical figures that are here present, just in the first few bars of this concerto, and that the musician picks up on while he's studying the score, does that mean that when the musician performs in public, he has all that in mind?
Oui et non. En même temps,
the preliminary work is very important, otherwise you run the risk of only recognizing the most obvious rhetorical figures in the score.
Les choses les plus évidentes dans la partition. Donc on fait un travail en détail.
So you have to work out the details in detail and then almost forget them when you play.
Oublier tout ça. Parce que ça fait partie de l'approche et c'est de nouveau, c'est comme la connaissance de la grammaire.
It's part of the approach, but it's like grammar in language. When you're speaking, you don't think about this grammar. It has to be integrated.
C'est la même chose avec les figures rhétoriques. Je vais encore plus loin. C'est possible que dans le concert, l'exécution donc.
It's even possible that during the concert, you discover or hear new figures that you hadn't noticed.
Encore quelques figures en plus. On les voit dans la partition ou on les entend ou on suppose d'autres. Et par contre, que c'est aussi possible que certaines figures qu'on avait.
It is also possible that you decide to illustrate less certain figures than you had decided to emphasize, that they seem less important at the time.
Moins important et qu'on les laisse tomber ou qu'on les met un petit peu sur un arrière-plan. Ça fait donc que un bon orateur qui fait.
A good speaker who gives three speeches on three different days is not going to say the same thing three times, even if he has prepared his speech well. With musicians, it's the same thing. Each concert can be different.
Most likely, the musicians who played the music of the 17th and 18th centuries knew these rhetorical figures because they were playing their contemporary music. They repeated them in the music and performed them. Nowadays, it is not the case anymore. So I know that you did once a seminar on these rhetorical questions with the musicians of Anima Aeterna. What did you expect from it at that time?
So that musicians understand better what they play, that's all.
Mais qu'ils font toujours la
let them always make music with their own sensitivity and their own idea.
Leur propre idée. Mais dans un cadre qui
but just within a framework that is based on something accurate.
Qui est basé sur quelque chose. J'essaie de faire comprendre.
I try to make musicians understand that it's not a system. It's not a dictatorship. Not at all.
Pas du tout.
On the contrary, The study of rhetoric gives the musician much more freedom.
I had now my answer. On the train home, with Liszt concerto in my headphones, I realized how much this discussion had also changed me. That knowledge of rhetoric not only frees the musician, but also the listener, and opens the door to a new, more enlightened and intense listening and enjoyment. Join us soon in Ears Wide Open for a new episode.